All right, welcome back to Anomalous. I am Eric.
I'm Matt.
And today we're going to be taking a little trip around the world.
Oh, yeah?
We're going to go to India.
Oh.
And we're going to hop in the time machine and go back a couple years.
Okay.
Before we get into this, I have to make a couple statements. Number one, the places and people and names are Indian. I will more than likely butcher a few of them. So, my apologies to India as an entire landmass for that. Second thing. The case we're going to talk about today has essentially been closed by the local police. They have pretty much come to their own conclusion. And whether or not that conclusion is completely accepted by myself, you, our listeners, or even some people very closely related to the case, that kind of is up in the air.
Okay, yeah.
So, with those disclaimers out of the way, let's take a trip back to July 1st of 2018. To Bharari, India. So, on that morning, a guy by the name of Gercharan, hopefully, Singh, was waiting for a friend of his at a local park. He and this individual would always go on walks in the morning, kind of like as a spiritual refresher.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
To get the day going. So he waited and waited, and his friend never showed, which was unlike him. He was usually prompt, on time, ready to roll.
Yeah.
Good to go. So, this was early in the morning. We're talking like 6:30, 6:45. So, his friend decided he was going to wait till 7. Mr. Singh did what all friends do and waited till 7:05.
Yeah, we'll do the same.
So, it was starting to rain a little bit, and Mr. Singh decided he was going to make his way back to his own house. As he was doing this, he passed the grocery store of his friend that he was waiting on. And oddly enough, the grocery store itself was closed. This was slightly unnerving because the grocery store was always open at 6 a.m. every day. Without fail. This is punctuality. This is real personality traits.
Yeah.
You know, the two men involved right now, punctual businessmen, straight out the gate, ready to go. So, Mr. Singh decided, that's weird. I'm going to go to my friend's house. He was going to the house of a man named Lalit Chandavat. I hope I pronounced that last name right.
Yeah.
Chandavit. Not exactly sure how that's pronounced.
I think it's the first one.
Chandavat?
Yeah, I think so.
Fair enough. So, he goes to Lalit's house. And he goes to knock and gets no response. And he goes to kind of jiggle the handle, but the door is unlocked. Also kind of strange.
Yeah.
Now, this is around 7:15 in the morning. He opens the door and finds something that no one wants to see in the house of someone you call a friend. He saw 10 bodies.
Oh, shit.
All hanging from the ceiling in a tight circle. He very rightly lost his shit and went screaming to the neighbors, and the police received the call around 7:30. So this did not, there was not a giant stretch of time here. So here we go. In the Chandavat household, there were, 11 people. Okay. So, a little bit of little bit of background here. We need to go into the family itself. And this is where things start to try to piece themselves together. The family moved from Rajasthan to Berari. Like I said, 11 people in this house post 2007.
That's a lot of people in one house.
So let's go above 2007. You had the patriarch of the family, Bhopal Singh. And this guy had really made them a lot of money. He had made them a prosperous family. But he was a bit of an authoritarian. His word was absolute law. And the family went along with it because they saw that his methods worked.
Yeah.
In 2007, he died of natural causes. That leaves in the house his wife, Narayana Devi, who was 77, the sons of Bhuvnesh, who was 50, and Lalit, who was 45. The daughters and daughter-in-laws, Savita, 48, and Tina, 42. Daughter, Pratibha, and his daughter, Pratibha, who was 57, and her daughter, Priyanka, who was 33. You also had Bhuvnesh's eldest daughter, Neetu, who was 25. His younger daughter, Manu, who was 23. Dhruv, who's the youngest son of Bhuvnesh, who's 15. And Shivam, the only child of Lalit, who's 15. Jesus. That's a lot of fucking people.
Yeah, it is.
That's a lot of fucking people in one house.
Yeah, that's... Especially a couple of them being teenagers.
Yeah, yeah, you're running the age racket here. And apparently Bhuvnesh had an even older son who had left home 3 years earlier. So he was not around when all this occurred. So, after Bhopal Singh died, Lalit became extremely introverted. He had also gone through some other things, like he was one of the things the family owned was a plywood store.
Right? Okay.
So one thing that did happen to him is he was robbed. But when they robbed him, when he was by himself with a plywood store, they dropped a bunch of wood on him and set his ass on fire. That'll make anybody kind of nuts. Let's be real.
Yeah. You're not really walking away sane from that one.
No, that's enough to really screw you up. So, after the death of his father, you know, he started withdrawing into himself, and they soon started noticing some weirder behavior. He started talking about how he was possessed by his father's soul, and that his father was giving him instructions on how to keep the family in a good life. So through this, he started like praying in front of trees, offering food to animals. I mean, seems all well and good.
Yeah, seems like karma stuff.
Yeah. But starting in 2013, he had been keeping a diary of his father's instructions. Okay. So, let's go from that little bit of background, because Lalit is going to be the main focus of this. Let's go to what Mr. Gacharan Singh actually found in the house.
All right.
Like we said, there were 11 people in the house.
Yeah.
10 bodies were hanging.
Okay.
Two men, 6 women, 2 teenagers.
Okay.
Everyone was blindfolded. They had cotton in their ears. Their mouths were taped shut. And their hands were tied. Their heads were also completely, you know, the faces were completely covered. But all of these came from the same bed sheet, basically. So it was like they really, like all of these masks came from the same piece of cloth, which is odd.
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, said there are 10 bodies. You're like, well, what the hell? Where's the 11th? Ah, the 11th was Narayani, the matriarch of the family. The grandmother. She was, yeah, she was found dead in an adjacent room, strangled. Okay. So, kind of weird.
Yeah, a little bit.
Some other bizarre inconsistencies were that there were stools.
Okay.
But some of them, I do believe the 2 teenage boys, their feet were very close to the ground. Meaning that if this was like somehow self-imposed, which is a theory we're going to get to in a minute, it'd be really fucking hard to hang yourself when you know your feet can touch the ground. I don't even know if your body would let you do that.
It won't.
I wouldn't think so.
Just like your body won't let you drown if you try to drown yourself.
Yeah, your body goes into fight or flight.
Yeah.
You know, the sympathetic nervous system kicks in and you freak the fuck out.
Yeah, like, we are programmed to naturally survive.
Fucking survive. So, all of this is pretty weird so far. Yeah?
Yeah, I would say so.
Pretty fucking strange. Don't worry. It gets weirder.
I wasn't worried, but thanks for the heads up.
So, when the police come in to do their investigation, they're like, what the hell is this? And they are running every angle they can. So you're looking at a mass suicide, you're looking at murder, people are looking at the occult. Now, what they found, probably the most interesting thing that they found, were 11 diaries. Every member of this family kept a diary. All of them were maintained for a period of 11 years.
Okay, that's a little strange.
It gets weirder.
Great.
According to the Joint Commissioner of Police, Alok Kumar, he says, and I quote, "We have found handwritten notes detailing how hands and legs are to be tied and are quite similar to the manner in which the bodies of 10 persons were found. They are exhaustive notes and we are studying them." And there were directions on how to do this. This is apparently a ritual called a kriya. And the diary also says, "Everyone will tie their own hands. And when the kriya is done, then everyone will help each other untie their hands." No one was expecting to die. And that's further proved by the fact that some of these diaries had, like, upcoming events. I believe it was Priyanka? Yeah, Priyanka, I do believe, the daughter of Pratibha, she was going to get married later that year.
Okay.
And they took that as a good sign of the family's good fortune and things like that. So she was engaged to get married and was actually happy about it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So there was also like food ready.
Okay, so catering and all the planning stuff were...
Well, not even for the wedding. I'm talking about, like, for the day.
Okay, yeah.
Like, they decided to do the ritual pre-breakfast.
Okay.
And somehow shit went horribly wrong.
I would say so.
Pretty so... sure
11 deaths made the whole thing go awry.
A little bit. Another interesting fact... that adds to the weirdness of this case is that there were also 11 pipes. Yeah, I know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now.
I mean, they must have a couple jacuzzis or something.
The pipes didn't go to anything.
That's even weirder.
They weren't hooked up to water. They weren't, no one really knows. And the pipes were correlated. They were correlated to the number of men and women who were dead. So you had 7 women, 4 men. And it was really, really bizarre. Because some of the pipes were straight, some of the pipes were bent. And I can't remember right off the top of my head how it worked. But one of the 11 pipes was off a ways from the rest of them. Almost like the matriarch of the family, who was off in an adjacent room. Dead. Just not in a circle with the rest of them.
Yeah, that does, correlate, I guess?
It does. Now, how that correlates is fucking...
You got me.
Beyond me. So, with as weird as this is, there was one surviving member of the family in that house. The dog. The dog's name was Tommy. Tommy was tied up to a pipe.
Oh, no.
Apparently, he was suffering from a high fever.
Oh, no, excuse me.
He was chained on the terrace. But no one's sure who the hell tied him there.
I mean, one of the family members could have done it before they started.
I mean, you would assume so, right?
Yeah.
Because I put a lot of faith in dogs, and a dog would be able to go, "Hey, human, you're being fucking dumb. Stop that. What are you doing?
Try to get you free, or try to...
try to do something.
Like Bart to get somebody's attention."
Exactly. Unfortunately, he was taken to a shelter, and he unfortunately passed away.
Oh, no.
Only 21 days later, on Sunday, July 22nd, 2018, of a heart attack. I do not know how old the dog was, but... that sucks. To top off the bizarre tragedy that has already occurred.
Yeah.
So
I'm more sad for the dog.
I'm more confused.
I mean, I'm confused about the whole like family ritual thing. But I'm sad that the...
well, dog, yeah, died. I mean, that sucks. That sucks for the poor pup. So, I mentioned at the beginning that this case was officially quote unquote solved. What the police and psychologists have basically said is that the entire family underwent what they called shared psychotic disorder. It's basically like a form of mass hysteria. So Lollett got so far into this like entrenched thought that his father's spirit was in him, guiding him. And the whole family fucking bought it. Which is weird. in and of itself. Even weirder than that is that in these diaries wasn't the first time they were going to do this ritual. They had planned to do it again.
Okay.
To bring good luck for Priyanka's marriage.
Okay.
They had planned to do it again. What? How'd you fuck it up the first time? I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody's beliefs.
No.
But holy fuck. I don't understand the Kriya. I don't understand their spiritual system. But you're planning to hang yourself twice? Well, you obviously didn't want to die the first time.
Unless they were supposed to have... Okay, so... My thought process is going to... The grandma was supposed to, like, cut them down or something. But you said they found her strangled.
Strangled.
I mean... Like, she wasn't hanging in the air.
No, she was in an adjacent room.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure after, like, a certain amount of time, she was supposed to go in and cut them down or something and untie the first person.
Yeah, because it said, you know, when the Kriya is done, then everyone will help each other untie their hands. Number one, I don't know how the hell you tie your own hands behind your back.
Yeah, that's...
Number one, that's some Houdini levels of dedication, and I'll give it to him. But I don't know how you tie your hands behind your own back. More or less, how you do that, stand on a stool, try and hang yourself. Did they put all the shit... Like, did they cover their faces prior to tying their hands? They obviously had to do the tape over the mouth and the cotton balls and all that prior.
Yeah.
And the blindfolding, but...
Maybe. But I'm not familiar with any of...
Neither am I.
Any of those rituals, so...
But the issue we have here, though, is that common sense, especially from a Westerner's point of view, is that there has to be someone else. There has to be an active third party.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense otherwise. It doesn't make sense to us. And to top it off, to top that off, the eldest among Narayani's five children, 62-year-old Dinesh. He doesn't believe it either. He said, it was almost a year after that he did not believe that they died conducting a ritual. Unfortunately, he has felt alone in this battle because the police had basically made up their minds. He also says that, you know, even though they looked at murder as a possibility, he says his family had no enemies. And generally, from what I've read, they were just a nice family, local family, business people. Everybody seemed to like him. So,
it doesn't quite add up.
None of this tracks. None of this tracks. So, let's pull it all together. The way the story stands, delusional guy believes he's being body-jacked by his dead father, who's giving him instructions on keeping the family prosperous. Okay. Everybody keeps diaries for 11 years. 11 people, 11 years, 11 pipes. Wow. He convinces them to go through a ritual to bring about good luck. During the course of this ritual, something magically goes awry, and all of them die.
Unless the ritual wasn't really about good luck.
Well, that's what the report said. Like, the Kriya was for some form of good luck, some form of like spiritual cleansing. And there's a lot more that goes into the diaries and the way Lolly perceived what was going on and some of the things he said, which were bizarre. But we're doing a quick overview of this one, because digging into it, I will just butcher so many more words. And it's weird enough on its face. So we're left with, what the hell happened here? And to be honest, there's not a lot by way of answer. It's an extremely bizarre case in an area of the world that I personally know very little about.
I actually, a long time ago, I almost moved to India.
Really?
Yeah, because my stepdad had a job offer over there, and it would have been nice, but just to be outside the country again, but...
I do like Indian food. I do like Indian food.
It's just, I didn't really want to go, because friends...
Yeah. I do like Indian food, though.
Indian food is good.
And it's one of the oldest cultures.
Oh, yeah.
So it'd probably be pretty cool.
It would be.
But that's where we're at with the, what I'm going to call the Barari incident. Doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't.
And I don't know if we're ever going to see what I would consider a true resolution to this. So fits exactly perfectly with our little show.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's been almost 3 years since that happened. 2 or 3 years since you said a year later they finally, like, came to a conclusion.
Well, they came to a conclusion a lot earlier than that. Okay, but about a year after that, Dinesh started coming out and going, look, this is crap. Your investigation sucks.
Yeah. So
give me something more.
Anyway, it's been 2 or 3 years since that happened, and I mean, this case might say it's been solved, but that just leaves more questions.
I don't buy it. And honestly, it was hard for me to find anything more recent than the end of June 2019.
Yeah, so I'm thinking it hasn't really been officially solved. It's just been
officially solved. Yeah. I don't know if you obviously can't hear finger quotes.
Air quotes, but like, it might be one of those things that they just, like, we don't really want to go into it anymore. So
they could just be like, we've got nothing.
They just closed it just because they didn't know what the hell was going on.
I mean, fair enough.
Because I don't know about you guys, but I have a couple more questions for this.
I have about 15.
Yeah, so, like, I want to know, like, this is an interesting story.
I want to know who the hell tied the dog up.
Yeah.
That might not seem like much.
Seem relevant at the time, but it could give us a clue on what.
But if
exactly
one of
happened.
The family members didn't tie the dog to the terrace, which is, let's be real, highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Then who the hell did it?
Just like, who strangled the grandmother?
Yeah. How the hell did she die?
Because you can't strangle yourself.
No. Once again, this is another one of those cases your body won't let you. Fight or flight. That's right. So how the hell did she go? More importantly than that, why the hell were they planning to do this twice? And if you're planning to do it twice, you think you'd be a bit more careful the first time.
Unless it didn't call for to hang yourself. But a third party was there, like you suggested, that was like, oh, they can't see. They're tied up. They can't do anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
So maybe they did that? But that's still an interesting story.
It's honestly, I heard about it literally 2 years ago.
Okay.
And holy shit, that was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird just hearing about it the first time. And then the more and more I heard about it, I was like, good God, this does not get any more simple, does it? So that was the Berari incident. And if there is any form of update to this case, I will find it. Because this thing was fascinating to me.
If there is, then we'll definitely do another episode.
We'll update it. So let's move on for the last few minutes and let's tackle some housekeeping. Number one, those of you listening may notice a bit of a difference in sound. That is because Matt over there got technically me a birthday present.
It's really for both of us to get this thing
running the way we want to.
Yeah, this is just a starter thing.
So if you have a desire to do a podcast and make it actually sound reasonably decent, where'd you get it from? Rockville?
Yeah, I got it from Rockville. It was
the PreSonus Audio Box. It's a bundle with Rockville microphones, the PreSonus Audio Box, USB 96, which is a two-input little box of wonders. Comes with a whole bunch of programs.
Yeah.
Like new recording programs, like what we're using right now, which is a Studio One 5.
Two mics, two headphones.
Yeah.
The headphones were shipped separately for some reason.
So, either way.
Yeah, they should be here. You might be listening to this on Tuesday, so they should be here when you're actually listening to it. But, I mean, for the whole bundle, for this small one, I paid like $250, $260, around there.
Yeah, I mean, given shipping and everything.
It shipped
remarkably fast, actually.
It shipped pretty quick.
And I work for a package delivery company. And that thing showed up very fast.
Like, I got home from work a couple nights ago, and a box was on the porch, and
wham, bam, thank you, man, there it is.
Holy shit, here it is.
But
yeah, we're not sponsored by them. Maybe one day we will be.
we're not sponsored by them, but we will sing their praises.
Like, I am going to give them a shout-out. This is a great setup.
Super easy.
Oh, yeah. Like, we checked out the, some of the programs and compared them to the actual price of the program itself. And
You are getting a hell of a deal. We'll put it to you like that.
Oh, yeah. One of them was $130 for just the program.
Yeah, just for one bit of software you can use inside the DAW. And,
whew. And we got, how many programs did we get with this?
It's about 6 gigs worth of stuff.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot. 6 gigs worth of plugins and things like that. So it's been real fun.
Oh, yeah.
And with me, I enjoy doing dorky audio shit, which leads me to the last thing I'm going to bring up is that the way you have heard this episode, if I have my way, will be the last time you hear an episode in this manner. Over the next week, I am going to be diving headfirst into all these programs, make an intro, make a trailer, add in sounds, do it right. We'll see if we can do some post-recording effects. You know, just really try and up this to an actual production.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Which, is much better for listening and is much more fun for me because I get to just play and fuck around with audio. So that to me makes me happy. And I believe that the happier you are on a project, on the product of the project, you know, the more heart you're putting into it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, this is your main project. I'm currently working on two other things with this.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I'm trying to start up a little business. I need to get back into streaming.
Yeah.
But I just haven't really felt like it. I might do it a couple of days.
Yeah, it's just for fun.
But now, little company, I just need like a website for it, an LLC.
Yeah, you can just get right to it.
Yeah. And I need to make a set for that long guy. But I started making like polyhedral dice out of resin.
Yeah.
I finally got my pressure pot to somewhat hold pressure for a while.
let's not, we'll be here for an hour talking about that pressure pot.
Yeah.
And all the hell we went through.
I was at Lowe's like 5 times last week.
Then, fuck Lowe's, it's all the hell we went through.
Yeah.
Me and you in here with a fucking hammer and...
But before I took that set out, I made like a little trial set.
Yeah.
When I actually decided to take it out, about an hour or so before you got home.
Yeah.
It was... Pressure was still in, like... Was that, like, 30?
Yeah.
So I just let the air out, because this one was hard. So I was like, okay, they're probably done. Took them out. They're done. That was my first set at... First trial of Galaxy Dice, which I know I'd messed up.
Well, I mean, it's all trial and error. You're making a physical product that you are still new to making, so...
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can't really go wrong there.
It'll still be a lot better when I actually do make my own molds.
Yeah.
Which I'm probably going to do that in a couple days or so, maybe Sunday.
Nice. But we have officially gone off on a fucking tangent.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? That's fine. Because this tangent will at least sound better.
It does.
So, that's it for us. You know what, you any idea what we're doing next week?
I'm not sure yet. I'm going to have to, look at some stuff and...
Oh, boy.
If you guys have any suggestions or anything you guys want to hear...
Hit up Anchor, hit up the Twitter, hit up the email. I will get to making that Discord.
We will definitely check it out.
And especially now that we're legitimately going to take this a lot more seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And really put some effort into the production. So maybe some episodes might not come out exactly on time. But if they don't, it's because I'm sitting here sweating bullets trying to figure out what I'm doing.
Yeah. This is my first podcast, so I still don't know what the hell I'm doing.
That's fine. Nobody does.
But...
And you're better off when you understand that no one knows what the hell they're doing.
Yeah. So, like I said, you guys have any suggestions or anything you want to hear about? Any horror stuff, creepypastas, whatever it is.
If it's weird, we're on it.
If it's weird, we want to, like, research it and talk about it.
Yep. That's pretty much the name of the game here.
If you have a conspiracy theory you guys want to hear.
Oh, good lord.
Look, man. Some conspiracies are fucking weird.
Some of them are true.
Yeah, so if
a lot of them are true.
Have something, anything at all.
Avril Lavigne is dead.
Creepy.
She has a body double.
Oh, God. God, what was that? What was that double's name?
I don't know.
Something Mandela.
Not man. That's the Mandela effect, you idiot.
I don't know, man.
We went down a bit of a rabbit hole with Avril Lavigne being dead.
Melissa, yeah, it is. It's Melissa Mandela.
Let me see that.
Which, like, I
you know, you're okay, Melissa Mandela. Damn,
I've never heard her name before, but look her up on Google. It looks exactly like Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, have fun with that. Avril Lavigne is apparently dead. So that one
might actually be true.
Or that Andrew WK is an Andrew WK.
Oh, yeah.
But it hasn't been Andrew WK since the first album, but still might be Andrew WK, but isn't.
If you guys want to hear me just ramble about crab people, go for it.
All right, we're going to end it on crab people. Y'all have a great night. This has been great. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you.